Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
Really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, or worried about your kids, or worried about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's white, cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seeds. We gotta grow as a...
Good evening, everyone. This is Lois Bullock, and this is your Let's Talk Truth radio broadcast. What I want you all to do this evening is to just relax and enjoy yourselves as we listen to Let's Talk Truth, as we discuss, are you a product of your environment? Are you a product of your environment? Throughout the broadcast, just keep asking yourself that, because a lot of times we're exposed to different things, and we want to know how that exposure affects us on a daily basis. We're going to examine how and if the development of our lives is based on our culture, our beliefs, and exposure. Is the outcome of our lives affected in a positive or negative way based on our environment? Are we living our lives based on what we read, know, and experience, or do we live our lives based strictly on what we are told? Thank you for tuning in, and if you have the mind, if you are tuning in, you have dialed 323-580-5712, and that's the number you call anytime you want to listen to our live broadcast. So we just thank every one of you that's tuning in, and for those of you that's not able to catch the live broadcast, we would ask you to log on to www.loyce.blogspot.com. So we would appreciate you tuning in. Even after the show is over, you can tune in and listen to our broadcast. And then you can form your own thoughts, because we try to do life issues and we try to make them thought-provoking, things that will make our lives simpler and better as we get older, and as we go day to day, because that's what we're looking for, to be simple, have our lives made simple and better. Now, we are here today, and we have a couple of guests, and I really don't call them guests because they come in and they bless us all the time. So they're really a part of our show, and we thank them for thinking of me in that manner, that they will come on and interject something that will help us in our thought-provoking atmosphere. We have Shannon, who Shannon is an awesome, awesome person, very vocal at times. Shannon is very young. She's growing, and we just thank her for her contribution that she makes to the Let's Talk Truth broadcast. Thank Louise. Louise is our seasoned veteran. She comes in with all of her expertise and experience, and she offers and enhances our thought-provoking process on Let's Talk Truth. And then last but not least, we have a young man who comes by and motivates us in many different ways. He has I call him a young man. He's really an old man, but he offers us many, 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 many points of wisdom, and we thank him for that. You know, our wisdom comes from our experience, and for you to have experienced a lot, you have to have lived a long time. Not only is he a motivational speaker, but he is a spiritual or a gospel comedian, and he's also the author of a book called Success is an Attitude. So I want you all to join me in welcoming our three guests, and as we talk about the, are you a product of your environment? Now, before we get started, I'm going to ask each of you, any panelists that want to speak first. If I ask you personally, what do you believe the product of your environment consists of? What would you say?
Product would be the people that you're around daily.
Okay. People that you're around daily.
I would say the product of your environment would be the person who you become, your personality, your outlook on life, the way it is, you know, formed is based on what you've been around.
Mm-hmm.
And your environment has a lot to do with who you are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, come on, Mr. Motivator. I know you got these motivational points that you're going to throw in there and encompass everything they've said. So what do you think?
I would have to say your surrounding and your character.
Your surroundings and your character. So just each of you looking at me, do you say that I'm a product of a positive and beautiful environment?
Yes.
Young, positive environment?
Yes.
Yes.
I just said, you know.
Well,
the truth. Let's talk truth.
I often say that, and listen, I want you all to understand something. Our show is called Let's Talk Truth, and we don't come on the air to preach to anyone. We don't come in to say, you know, you're holy and you're not holy and you're not this and you're not that. But we're talking about life issues, and these are life issues that, in my theme song, I says, these are life issues that absolutely stunt our growth. And you can tell when your growth has been stunted because you will reach a pivotal point in your life where you just can't get past a certain thing. It's something that just tears you up. It takes you out of position. It has really just grabbed you and practically done away with you. And that's when you can tell you haven't grown. But in order for us to take these life issues and put them in the proper perspective, we're doing the Let's Talk Truth series. And Let's Talk Truth, there's only one truth. Now, a lot of people can tell you, sometimes our grandparents say, it's two truths, yours and mine is one. But in actuality, Christ is the only truth. And sometimes we look at things as being the right thing to do, but it's not the righteous thing to do. So God is the truth that lies in between there, and God is the only one that can make that abundantly clear to everyone. God's truth. So we do encompass God, or we do put God in our life issues, because that's the only way we can arrive at the truth. Okay? Now, we're talking about, am I a product of my environment? Are you a product of your environment? Okay, Louise.
Yes. You not only a product of your environment, but also you're a product of your genetics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that plays a role there as well.
Right.
Because what you see, even in the family, say there's family of two kids or 20, even though those kids may have the same parents, they're still going to be some differentiation because when they were born, what order in the family they fall into.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, the oldest child is going to act differently than the middle child and the child at the end. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's not only your environment, but your genetics.
Now, she brought up a good point, and this is the thought-provoking process. Does genetics develop the environment?
In some cases. For example, some things you can pass along genetically, like the way you smile, the way you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
If you like to read, you know, some things are just given to you, like you can say, oh, she sits just like, you know, my grandma, or, oh my gosh, she talks just like her daddy, or anything, those kind of things. But certain attributes can be contributed to genetics. But a person's basic personality
mm-hmm.
is based off of their experience, what they have gone through, your environment.
Yes.
Because you develop, they can go two different ways. Let's say you take a kid
mm-hmm.
who comes from a home where they're abused.
Mm-hmm.
That child can fall two ways.
Mm-hmm.
One, it depends on how deep that person's characteristic is,
mm-hmm.
how strong their will is. If you have a person come from a bad situation, they can grow up and say, you know what? I never want to live like this again.
Mm-hmm.
When I grow up, I'm going to have children, and I'm going to do them so much better than this. I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that. And you have that child who actually accomplishes that.
Mm-hmm.
You also have those other, because you know everybody's personality is different.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a person who is not as strong-willed, they're going to give in to that, succumb to that abuse,
mm-hmm.
and they become abusers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. Your environment shapes and forms who you are. And really it starts from age zero to 4 years,
mm-hmm.
you're actually pumping into that person the basis of who they're going to be. Now, there can be tweaks and alterations along the way based on experiences. I can say that because of me, I had a wonderful childhood.
Mm-hmm.
My mother gave me everything. Actually, I was spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
I received everything. I never went to Payless. I didn't know what that was. The first time I had to go, I was a teenager, and I almost cried. Well, no, actually, I did cry. But I had everything in my life. But my personality changed based on the people who, I guess, my life was inundated with at the time. You know, if I was a very trusting person. If you told me it was blue outside, I'm going to believe it's blue. Because why else would you tell me anything else? You know, I thought, okay, your word is your word. You know, you're not going to deviate from that. Well, after dealing with a bunch of people who maliciously and purposefully would do things to hurt you, you know, talk about you, you know, that two-faced backstab. I never was, you know, exposed to that. But exposing me to that has made me the person you see before you today. I am not as trusting. You know, I have to see it first. The only thing I trust wholeheartedly is God. And, you know, I can't see him. But with man, my expectations are very low. I expect anybody to do anything.
Okay. So that's one form of her product being, she's a product of the environment that she was brought up in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take the word tradition.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are traditionally done in relationships, in families,
mm-hmm.
and tradition molds a certain environment,
mm-hmm.
which leads us to do particular things when we get up and grow up and on our own. Let's take, for you know, the one thing that's really being a product of your environment when we're talking about tradition,
mm-hmm.
church. You find some people who go to Pleasant Rock sitting on the side of the hill Baptist Church. They're not growing in that church, but they stay there because why?
It's a habit.
It's
just like smoking or going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You were raised into doing that. If that becomes a habit. Anything you're repeating, yeah, but anything you've been repeating over and over again becomes a natural part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If I tap my knee every day and I was taught to tap my knee every day, as I get old, I'm still going to tap my knee. It doesn't make any sense to anyone else, but I'm used to doing that. That's like with
mm-hmm.
anything that you collect.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking, going to the gym. So you are addicted to that. People are addicted to church. It's become a tradition, a routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if my whole family go there.
But yeah, because I still go to that particular church because Aunt Sally went, you know, Pocahontas went, just all of these things. But we go because it's traditional, not because it gives us any growth. Mm-hmm. And when we get where we talk about tradition, another thing that's tradition, holidays. Mm-hmm. I've seen now people pull away from tradition because mostly Christmases are molded around family. Yeah. Thanksgiving, family.
Yep.
But now you find young people, young single people, who want their own tradition. They want to set up their own tradition. So they forget about mama and daddy and coming together as a family. And so I think that's taking it away from the positive side, moving it to the negative side. Because when you find things like that, I think that I believe that people are out of their season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not saying that you won't get to leave something someday, but you've got to wait your season to do it.
I disagree. I think it's because I'm young.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
But it shouldn't be, it shouldn't take a holiday for me to, that's the thing, people put too much emphasis on these holidays. It's a time off where it gets the time for family. But I shouldn't wait till Thanksgiving or Christmas to make that time.
I understand what you're saying, and I totally agree. I'm just saying that Christmas as Christmas
mm-hmm.
was set aside for a family get together. Not saying that that's the only day.
Right, but this is the thing.
But
let's say my mama.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a nice home and I say, you know what, I want to make Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner here and have the family come to my house,
mm-hmm.
what would be wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it except we take away. I guess we take away that bond that's formed.
How's it not
in the family? Because
the location doesn't make a difference. If the same people are together in the same house, why does the location matter?
Well, let me say this. I was raised in the country.
Mm-hmm.
When it came down to Christmas, my mother started preparing for Christmas for food and stuff like a week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And she would bake and bake and bake. I don't care where we were,
mm-hmm.
on what continent or whatever, everybody made it home.
So you're a product of your environment.
Yes.
That's so true. Yeah.
We're a product of our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we did that, we opened gifts together.
Mm-hmm.
We just, everything we did it together. Even the in-laws, the son-in-laws, the daughter-in-laws, the cousins, everybody came home to mama.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as mama is in that position,
mm-hmm.
mom and dad, they were heads. They were matriarchs and
patriarchs.
Yes, they were. Now, who can move them out of the way? You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
I agree what you're saying exactly. I think my parents and grandparents, they grew up in a more of a nurturing environment.
Exactly.
And family and togetherness and love that really meant something.
Yes.
So each holiday was something special to them,
mm-hmm.
because that was a way of, hey, we want to really express our love for one another. And with some of the people today, especially some of the younger generations, they don't do that, and because that's not in their environment, of course they become a product of their environment when they get married. And so if they grew up in an environment that's not as nurturing, if they grew up in an environment that, hey, we all eat our meals in separate rooms and we play on our video games, and we talk to, you know, we text each other when we want to say something to each
mm-hmm.
other. We don't talk to each other. So when those people get together and marry, they become a product of their environment, and their environment may not be closeness. It's do your own thing.
But don't you think that becoming a product of your environment in that sense,
yes.
don't you feel that families lose something?
Thank you. My sentiment is
that they lose something.
Families are missing something, and they're wondering, what is it we're missing? You hear people, you watch TV and the talk shows. They're going on there
and they're upset. You know, our family, we are not close. We don't have what the other families have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think a lot of them miss it.
A lot of them, we're missing that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one thing, being a product of the environment. If your
environment is just purely selfish.
Yeah.
Okay, I grew up in an environment, we shared our food with one another. We help one another. Okay, now I have friends, and I have friends that have children. Their environment is different. My parents, anything that they had, I could drive daddy's car, I could ride on daddy's tractor, or grandfather's tractor. Okay, the environment nowadays is different. Hey, this is my car.
Yeah.
You can't drive my car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you are my dad. That's mine, and nobody drives my car. And then, you know, you hear the man say, hey, this is dad's car, that's your mama's car, and everybody has their own separate car, and they have their separate food in the refrigerator.
We have lost that closeness.
Yes,
that,
we have.
That element that means family.
Yes.
We've lost that because we are a product of the new wave environment or whatever this new thing that's coming along.
Mm-hmm.
We are a product of that. But what I don't understand, like if I'm brought up to love and nurture family,
yes,
that's how I'm gonna bring my children up.
Mm-hmm.
So who dropped the ball? You know, where did the ball drop for somebody to come in and allow me to disrupt, you know, give me a new set of rules, a new environment? Where did that come in?
I hear you, and Louise, you want to say something?
Yeah. One thing too, you have to look at the mobility. You know, back in the day, back in the early days, you know, families were somewhat closer because everybody lived in the same environment. They were pretty much close together. But see, now you got a lot of people, a lot of your younger people, they have to go across country just to get jobs. So, you know, they going to lose some of that closeness to their family anyway when they have to move.
But now, that's true, but let me say this.
Yes.
I was raised in a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
My older siblings
mm-hmm.
all moved to Dallas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And my brother was, I mean, he had some of the prettiest girlfriends
mm-hmm.
in the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nothing for us to look in our driveway
mm-hmm.
on Christmas morning and see a car that we didn't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be my brother
mm-hmm. yeah.
bringing one of his girlfriends
mm-hmm.
to Christmas.
And wasn't he in the military?
And he was in the military and all this, but everybody came home.
Yes,
there was there was no miles. You couldn't put miles between it. My oldest sister was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gravitated home. Mm-hmm. What you gonna do? We're going to mama's.
Yeah.
And everybody would come, and everybody would bring gifts. And of course, that was part of the tradition where we actually believed in Santa Claus.
Sure.
And it wasn't some person sitting out there telling you, oh, it ain't no Santa Claus. You know, because they didn't get anything.
Uh-huh.
I was about 15 years old, and I wanted to fight when they told me there was no Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
And I just felt like I should have been able to believe in Santa Claus until I got ready to stop believing.
I heard you. You're right. We didn't have much when we grew up, but that love, that togetherness was so special.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful for my childhood because
me too.
We had the opportunity to spend time with all of our uncles and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and we learned a lot about each other and our heritage. We shared things.
Mm-hmm.
See, nowadays, you notice, most people, especially the younger generation, don't really share with each other, and therefore they feel that they know about everything, and they feel that, hey, we don't need what you all had back.
Yeah, we don't need what mom and them had.
But good example, I still hear people talking about Trayvon Martin. But think about it for a moment. There were situations that happened that were tragic back in the day, but there wasn't a lot of situations like the things that happened with Trayvon Martin, mm-hmm. because families were closer and they looked out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
If a young man walked down to the street, to the store, or went to another relative's house, hey, we would go out and watch them while they were walking. Or some of us would walk them, as you would say, piece of the way,
mm-hmm.
and everything. And so because we love one another, but today, because of it not being that closeness, that togetherness,
mm-hmm.
people can look out the window and see an injustice, and they close their curtains.
Exactly.
They look the other way because, hey, we want to keep to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be bothered. You know, whatever happens, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's easy for people to ignore things that aren't
because
right.
Because there's no love.
There's no love.
No
and
love
so
for
when
the
you
community,
don't,
no
when
love
there's no
the
love
family.
For the community, no love for the family, and when there's no love for the fellow man, it's easy for you to close your door and say, hey, I'm going to visualize that nothing bad happened, and whoever got shot, whoever, whatever happened, they probably deserved it. Because we don't have that.
We don't have that love and that.
We don't have that love.
And because we don't have, we don't produce that part of us,
yes.
that part of our lives that instills in our children the love of family. We don't nurture our children in that respect.
No, we don't. And well, and I'm seeing that even when some of us do want to nurture our children and we want to and embrace them with rich tradition or togetherness, we have family members who want to come in
and divide it.
And divide it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that. I don't. I'm by myself. I don't like people, and I think this is where the kids need to be.
Mm-hmm.
They should be at this school. They should go. They should go where
right.
Go to an environment where they can be to themselves.
And this is where I tell our young people,
mm-hmm.
and I tell parents, you are responsible for your child.
Okay.
You know, God made you responsible.
Yes.
You have to be a good steward over that child.
Uh-huh.
And that was a point that I had two children, and I saw both of my children were brilliant. But my daughter was a sophomore in high school, and she started not just goofing around, making where she didn't do good grades, but she was just doing things that I didn't teach her to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my son, who was in the fifth grade, I saw him being attacked because he was smart.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers would, and the day I saw my son not want to go to school because a teacher was putting pressure on him for something that was out of his control,
mm-hmm.
I knew then I had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my fifth grade son and I took my sophomore daughter and I pulled them out of public school.
Mm-hmm.
And I homeschooled them.
Yes.
Now, I had family members who, oh, they pitched a fit. You're going to take those kids out of school. They're not going to be around people. They're not going to do this. Well, I told them this.
Mm-hmm.
To shut, you know what I said, shut up. Leave my children alone. If I'm responsible for them, I'm going to do what's best for them. And they didn't like it. But I told them, if you don't like it, you better tell God about it. So if I hear about it, I'm coming over and beat every one of you. You know, and at that time I would have. But they left me alone.
Mm.
My daughter, I put her back in public school as a senior. She graduated valedictorian of her senior class. I put my son back in public school as a junior. He graduated ninth in his class, National Honor Society. But you have to see what's happening. If you want your children to be a product of the proper environment, you've got to demand that environment fit your mold.
Uh-huh.
You've got to make that environment fit your mold. You don't let the environment mold you. You have to know what's right and don't apologize for doing what's best for your children.
So if I understand correctly, what are you saying to the parents that have situations similar where there's maybe a friend or outside relative who's interfering?
You shut their mouth. You tell them, and you don't try to hide it. You tell them in front of the children, whomever, because 9 times out of 10, if they're influencing the children are probably teenagers.
Yes. Some
of you them. Have to make sure you say, listen, I am your parent. I am doing the best I can for you, and this is how we're going to do it. And I would tell whatever relatives, auntie, uncle, sister, brother, whomever is interfering, leave them alone. And if you don't stop it, I'll stop you. I just refuse to let you damage my family.
Yes.
You have to stand up and say, you're not going to damage my family. Nobody damaged me, and you're not going to damage them.
Yes.
And these are the things we have to do. So because if we aren't careful, mm-hmm. we will become a product of our environment. We will be out there just wild, going all willy-nilly, doing these things. And you know these things are not going to be the right things that's going to influence you in a positive way. See, we grow up with habits. We have habits that produces positive products. Then we have habits that produce a negative product.
Mm-hmm.
So that negative side is what we have to make sure we steer away from.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And I'd like to ask you, what do we say to people, to individuals, whose environment was negative, and maybe they don't realize it, and their environment has affected them to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they can't see it, they actually think that they're positive. They mean good. But their environment has shaped them, and they become a charge of negativity
mm-hmm.
wherever they go.
Well,
is there anything to say to those individuals? Or
well, the only thing you can do is pull them to the side every time
mm-hmm.
and bring it to their attention. Stay prayerful for them.
Yes.
But in the reason you have to stay prayerful and pray for them,
mm-hmm.
because when you correct a negative person, they're going to take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to retaliate. And they're going to think that, oh, you're trying to do this. But we have to make people stop and say, look at your life and look at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you're doing. Let me make you aware of why you are negative all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And see, those are the things, if you love people, you make people aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you stand there and be responsible enough to deal with the consequences. Because I promise you, if you tell people the truth,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to like it at first. Because no one, people tell you, we call this show Let's Talk Truth. But people really don't want to know the truth. They're going to have an excuse for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be wise. We've got to be wise in our life, wise in our building, wise in our development of not just our lives, but the lives of the ones that we're responsible for.
Yes.
Because if we're responsible for a certain person, people, we've got to get to that point where you may not want to be around me, but I'm going to always speak the truth. I'm going to always be positive.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to, you know, my mom used to say you have to let them bump their head.
Uh-huh.
But people don't realize you can bump your head sometimes and it's fatal. You don't recover from that. So this is why we have to be aware of our tradition. We have to be aware of our habits. And when you look at mothers nowadays, our mothers, strong-willed people,
But some of us are so strong, we absolutely forget to teach our children that it's okay to be weak sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You've got to have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a balance. If I'm strong 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, I promise you I'm Jesus Christ. And even he had a weakness when he asked his father, do I have to really die on the cross, you know? So there's a point that we all have to come down, condescend, so that our strength is not always visible, because people don't know how to let a weakness work for you. It's not good being weak all the time, being strong all the time. Just like it's not right being weak all the time. It doesn't teach you anything. I have friends who absolutely tell the men in their lives, don't you be whining like a little girl. Well, who said crying was like a girl? Who said to feel something is like a girl? In order for your husband to be a good husband to you, he has to be able to feel.
And if he can't
feel, he can't love you.
He's going to be cold.
Because he can't love himself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're going about when we said we're a product of our environment. We're building these bonds
mm-hmm.
in people. We're building these people who have no abilities whatsoever to consider family and what family means. Do you know, I don't think people know what family means.
No,
if we talk about...
Why? Everybody nowadays wants to play the martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to point out, I did this and this is how everybody's doing me. And not once you sit back and say, you know what? Let me see my fault in this. I look at people who get divorced, it's always one-sided. Well, they did, he did this, she did this, instead of saying, you know what? We both screwed up.
Yeah.
Because if both of us worked at it, then we'll be at this point. Somewhere somebody dropped the ball. You know, you can tell a person, this is what bothers me when we do this and do that. Well, I do that because
we're not worried about why you do it. If you're in a relationship, whether it's husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, sibling, parent to sibling, whatever relationship you're in,
mm-hmm.
we have to be cognizant of the other's feelings.
Right.
And when we talk about environment, we make our environment so volatile. You know, it's so explosive. It's so dramatic. Everything around us is so dramatic. When you get up in the morning, what are your plans for the day? You know, what positive contribution are you going to make? Everyone should be looking at making a positive contribution. And if you find yourself at the end of the day that you haven't made any positive contribution, we need to reassess what's going on. Now, just hold your thought just for a second. I was raised, like I said, family,
mm-hmm.
loving, nurturing. I married a man who was not family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a clue what family was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we remained compatible? We were not compatible in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
We were just two souls in the night coming together.
Mm-hmm.
and it got to a point where I can't live without being family oriented. He couldn't live being family oriented.
Yeah. No correlation.
Well, there was nothing there. So we have to stop and say to ourselves, what contribution am I making to this environment?
I think you're right. I like what Shannon said a few minutes ago. Hey, there's some areas where we both of us have made a mistake. Can we come together
mm-hmm.
and work things out? Can we can each of us contribute to do our best? But I think some of us come from environments. If you come out of an environment where everybody in your environment was a know-it-all,
mm-hmm.
okay, and then that was their way of feeling important or rising beyond saying, hey, I'm a nobody. I got to be a know-it-all on everything. Everything I do has to be perfect, and it's hard to have communication with
mm-hmm.
someone, first of all, who feels like they know it all, they know everything, they're perfect. You got to be the one that's with the problems, and I see that all the time.
Right, and I can write a book on the contribution I've made to being a product of my environment. And I was telling you a minute ago about my ex-husband. I try to sing this everywhere I go. I have nothing negative to say about my ex-husband. It's just the fact that he didn't know how to be family. And I didn't know how not to be. And there were times he worked hard for me. I was a selfish brat. I tell everybody, I was very selfish. What I had was mine. What he had was mine. Mm-hmm. Yet, I would take all that we had accomplished together
mm-hmm.
and pad my family. You know, buy my family this, buy my family that, spend this. And if he said something about a $900 credit card bill that I had run up just buying food for my family, if he said something about it, oh, he was just horrible. That is my family, you know, which was, I was wrong. And then he was wrong to say, don't do nothing for your family.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because he wasn't raised like that.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't raised nurturing and loving
mm-hmm.
and where family meant something. So you have to get to a point where there's a start date for everybody, even if it's tomorrow. You need to start developing your life so that product, the environment that you are forming, because everyone helps to make a contribution to the environment. You've got to make sure that you're making a positive and righteous contribution to the environment.
I agree with you 100%. I think we should strive to try to know and understand one another. How often do you see people come together, but yet they really don't know under each other? As you said, you came from a loving, nurturing environment. Your husband came from an environment where it was cold. Nobody, and so that was an issue from the start. And I remember when my wife and I we were dating at the time. And we went to a church, and there was a man, I think he's a pastor now, his name is Les Smith, Pastor Les Smith. And he had there was a class he was teaching called Growing in Christ. This class allowed couples, individuals that were single and also who were dating to come together. And in this class, he had everyone to deal with their backgrounds, where they came from, what they grew up, and he used the word to help each person see that, hey, this is where you're good at, but this is where you need help at. And I think that was that had an impact on my wife and I when we decided to get married
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have to start where a lot of people started it as far as, you know, just having a main issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped us to kind of understand one another, so we were able to pull together. So I think what you said is very important.
Mm-hmm.
We should try to understand each other's environment, because if you grew up in an environment with all men and there was not a woman in the house, okay, and then you grew up in an environment with all women and there's no man in the house, that means there are some things, some issues, there are some shaded areas that could have more light so that the marriage could have more
unity,
yes.
It's absolutely.
You know, we're all products of our environment, but one thing I wish people get into their heads is you may be a product of your environment, but if what you're producing at that particular time is detrimental to who you are as a person or is not a good person, eventually, like, there should be a point where you decide that you're going the wrong way and you want to stop. You can continue to just linger and bathe and soak in and drink and eat the same
negativity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, believe me, I understand. I don't think anybody in this world has been hurt more than I have. Just haven't said nothing. Mm-hmm. But I'm sensitive. Like, my feelings get hurt real easy. A lot of times people think I'm playing like I'm crying. I'm really am. I hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, I could take that and be like, everybody's turning against me. Let the devil talk to them. And, oh, they did, and they make me a horrible person. If you continue, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And if you're trying the same type of behavior, same type of attitude, and the same thing, you're still in the same place, what is that benefiting you? You as a person at that point have to look at yourself. Forget everybody else, because at the end of the day, you're responsible for you. Forget what's going on outside. Forget your cousin, mama, brother, daddy, it don't matter. What is going on with you?
Mm-hmm.
You need to get with God and say, look, I'm tired of having these headaches. I'm tired of being in a bad mood all the time. I'm tired of feeling this way, Lord. I'm tired of this. And do something about it. You may be a product of your environment, but that don't mean you have to keep producing the same thing.
You don't have to let the environment.
They shut down and shut down the factory of what they do. And somebody else bought and rebuilt it and started over, and they got Twinkies coming back out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to, you know, you have to make a decision.
Yeah, that you want to
say you want to stop.
That you want to live. That you want to live a positive, productive life.
Yeah, and
you stop
know,
being a product, a negative product of your environment. And I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, you call what you do is you begin to, if you take one little thing about you, it'll grow if you don't address it.
Yeah.
It'll grow. Mm-hmm. Like, if I would have stayed non-trustworthy, I would have been a mean tyrant running around just, shut up talking to me. You know, that's not healthy. It's bad on your health.
It's
bad
healthy.
On your mind. You miss out on so many blessings. You know, you shouldn't have to
because
walk around.
People don't
so
want
messy.
To be around you.
Not even that. People always want to judge and say what you do or what you say. Look, know the people you labor with. If a person, if you have to question everything that a person does, stop hanging with them.
Yes.
That's my thing. If you're my friend or we're in a relationship, whatever case may be, if you have to question everything I do, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you should know me well enough to know me and what I will and will not do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
the point. We're talking about a product of your environment.
Yeah.
A lot of times people form relationships, and being a product of your environment, your environment has never taught you
mm-hmm.
how to build on a relationship. See, everybody, you just grow up like a weed. If you look in, out on that grass out there now, the tallest things out there are weeds.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a part of that St. Augustine grass. So when you find yourself growing up on your own without any direction, see, someone has to stop you when you're young, and they have to tell you when you're young, this is, you can't do that. You cannot do that. You cannot say that. But we ignore things thinking things are going to fix themselves in our lives. Things don't fix themselves. We have to allow ourselves to be fixed with whatever instruments that we need to be fixed with. Okay?
I agree. I think you're right. I believe we need to question our environment, question some of the things sometimes that we've been exposed to. Because, say, if you're stingy and you get with somebody that's very generous, there's going to be an issue. And I recall when I was growing up, there were people who would encourage. Well, look at Junior don't give nobody nothing. Look, there you go,
boy.
Look.
That's okay, Junior. Come on.
Come on, Junior. Junior's going to be something. That boy, Junior don't get nobody nothing.
He's going to be rich one day.
He's going to be rich one day.
No.
And then they realize, see, they programming Junior to look out for himself.
And that's not the normal way to be.
And that's not. And so Junior, if Junior holds on to all of this and be like,
mm-hmm.
Dad told him,
mm-hmm.
hey, I'm like, my dad, I ain't getting nobody nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking out for myself.
Exactly.
Self-preservation is a law of nature. You got to look out for yourself. See, those people that preach that kind of stuff to their kids end up being lonely, isolated, sometimes being on drugs because they run everybody
mm-hmm.
away that's around them.
And that's the same thing I say about myself. I had to stop and reevaluate myself as far as relationships.
Yes,
I have standards considering a male in my life. There are standards. There are things that I require. But sometimes you sabotage a relationship because you don't want to relinquish control.
Yes.
You don't want to relinquish control of that little area that you think you're controlling right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why a lot of females are either single
mm-hmm.
or going to be single.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that the most devastating thing in a marriage when you become single, the devastation lands on the children, not on you.
Mm-hmm.
I had three children. Two of them, well, yeah, all of them were raised without their father. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that my children's life would have been different if it had been my husband and I raising them. We would have been on one accord. We would have brought together, produced a good environment. Whereas right now, they're subject, and I guess a lot of women, well, I stay single till Cookie gets 18, but you're sleeping with everybody in town. So you're not single.
Yeah.
Pookie sees that. Pookie done had so many uncles,
yeah,
you know, and things like that. So I'm sick of that. So you are a product of the environment, and you're making your child a product of that environment when all you have to do is if you're with the man and you got children, sit yourself down and be a wife and mother.
You're right. When you expose Pookie to that type of environment,
yes,
sometimes Pookie is the one that doesn't escape it because she goes right into that environment, and out of all the people that would really be an asset, but that would be great for her, she picks the one that maybe takes her head off, who kills her,
mm-hmm.
who stabs her, because Pookie, her environment, that's what she was she accepted
to.
She was accustomed to, so she got with a killer. And then he murders her and the baby, and then he's gone on by
the business. Thing of it is, I want females.
Yes.
And I'm not just addressing this show to females, but to females. Sit yourself down and stop listening to people who ain't got nobody, who ain't never had nobody, who don't have no intentions of getting nobody.
That's right. Who don't want nobody.
Who don't want nobody. Quit taking advice from them, because people that's giving you that advice, they're just trying to rip you out of the place God has put you.
Yes.
You're in a good place, and here you come along here. Stop using my child. You didn't have one. Stop using my child. Stop telling me what you need to do is this. No, what I need to do is cleave to my family.
Yes.
I need to cleave to my husband, cleave to my child, and you need to go somewhere and get you one.
I agree with you. I heard a minister tell me once, he said, broke people give broke advice.
Yes.
You're going to go to somebody who have a track record of never being involved with a relationship, and you're going to listen to several of those people tell you you don't need your relationship.
Yes.
You can make it by yourself.
Product of your environment.
Girl, all you need is Jesus. You don't need no
money. All you need is, girl, I make my own money. Does money don't go nowhere with you? Money cannot sit and talk to you. Money can't hold your hand and pray for you. You can't sleep with money at night. If you have to cry on money's shoulder, you can't do that.
You're right. And one of the most positive things that you can give to children is a family, a man and a woman working together, because little boys and little girls need to see what a loving man,
mm-hmm.
how he handles himself, and they also need to see how a woman conducts herself that walks in love.
Mm-hmm.
And when kids don't have that, being an educator, I see it with too many kids, that there's a man missing in the home, or there's a woman, and that kid gets in trouble at school because all they want is acceptance, but they figured getting in trouble is the way to get a little bit of attention.
Mm-hmm. And we've got about 5 minutes, but I don't believe anymore the product of your environment. I don't want to hear male or female saying, well, I'm just not I'm not a touchy-feely person. I'm not romantic. I don't like touching. That's just not me.
That ain't
you. A lie, and the truth is not in you. Because when you get out around that door, you're a freak. Everybody know you're a freak. You know you're a freak, so quit trying to sell something else. Somebody that good, clean nurturing to show your children that, you know, I love my husband, and we kiss goodbye every day. Morning when I leave, we kiss when we come home.
Some
we
people,
hug.
Again, that's a product of your environment.
Exactly.
I know some people who have trained their children that PDA, which is public displays of affection, for those of you in radio land don't know, you know, that's taboo. That's wrong. That you're not supposed to show. You're not supposed to hold the person you wish hand. You're not supposed to.
And those people are the freaks. I promise you. Catch them outside of the limelight. Freak, freak, freak. I tell you that.
I heard you. Who was that? That's a positive environment. Freak. Right. But what was that? Then Diana Ross have a song entitled I Need Love. And then was it Tina Turner's song was What Love's Got to Do with It.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants love. I don't know anybody that wants to have some love. You want love. You want to give love. You want to feel love. And in fact, congratulations on Miss Tina Turner. She's getting married now.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Well, if I will say this to everyone that's listening, if there's a chance for Tina, there's a chance for me. So that's all I'm saying. We've got about 3 minutes to go. I want to thank my guests, Mr. Motivator, Ms. Weed, Ms. Shannon. Thank you all so very much for sharing this hour with me. And for those of you that's listening, thank you for sharing the hour as well. For those of you that want to make any comments or anything, you want to write me and say anything, send it to Let's Talk Truth 333 at yahoo.com. Let's Talk Truth 333 at yahoo.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Let's Talk Truth 333. Visit my blogspot, www.loisbullock.blogspot.com. And I want to say in closing, if you feel that your contribution, if you are a product of your environment, please work at making it a positive contribution, because a negative contribution can last you all the way to the grave. And it makes such a ripple effect. It doesn't just affect you. It's affecting everyone around you. So that's what I want you to really get from this broadcast tonight. If you want to be a product of your environment, just make sure it's a positive one. Don't let anything tear you away from family. Be family-oriented, and I promise you, so I don't have no family. You stand still, God will give you one. I promise you, he'll give you a family, someone you can love and share things with and be there for. And we have to get to that point that we're going to be all that we can be as children of God. So, like I say, am I a product of my environment? Are you a product of your environment? The answer is unequivocally yes. We are a product of our environment. So you have to get to the point where if we're not producing the right image, every day you wake up, there's a chance to change that image. There is a chance to change it. And if anyone wants to talk to me about anything they're feeling, if you feel like you don't know where to go next, just make sure. Drop me an email. Let's Talk Truth, 333 at yahoo.com. I want to say I thank all of you, and we are coming to an end of our broadcast, and I want to say that this is Lois Bullock. I'm your host of Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving with the heart of God. Good night. Be blessed.
Well, when you're